Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I'd now like to introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains a recovery on a daily basis. After she shares, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what she has shared. Please help me welcome Annette, a compulsive overeater from Toronto. Take away, Annette. Oh, and do you want me to time you and tell you 25 minutes? You have 5 minutes left?
Sure. Sure.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Annette M., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm really glad to be here tonight to offer my experience, strength, and hope. Before I do, I just want to pause and I want to bring God into my talk, God, and say a prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou will. Relieve me of the bondage of self so that I may better do thy will as I share my experiences. So I will begin to share what I was like and what I'm like now. As early as probably 8 years old, I was always an anxious eater. I was born that way. My father telling me to slow down or correcting my eating ways in front of other people. And my mother telling me to leave the last piece for someone else. Shame and guilt were my companion. I remember not finding clothing in my size and wearing my jeans so tight, they would give me what my kids would call a wedgie. I would get blisters on my fingers, trying desperately to pull the zipper up. I would always sneak food and try to cover up my traces. Always eating the bottom row of chocolates my dad brought from a business trip for his guests. I would start on the bottom row, hiding the evidence. I remember sneaking food. I remember offering to help my brother do a fundraising event, selling chocolate bars. And guess who ended up being the biggest donor for that? You got it. It was me. In high school, I ended up eating all the chocolates one at a time. I would take the bus home, picking up snacks on the way home, and then having more when I got home. Food was my respite from the pains of life. I rarely considered not finishing something if I started it. I obsessed about it until it was all gone, and then wanted more. I remember my father, bought something as simple as yogurt, and I started to eat it, and I knew he wanted it, and I ended up eating the whole thing, irregardless of the discipline that would happen as a result of finishing it, which was usually belting. So my heaviest weight was close to 200 pounds, and I yo-yoed for the first 43 years up and down, give or take, 30 pounds up, 30 pounds down, 40 pounds, and so on and so on. I had low self-esteem and few friends. My life was definitely unmanageable. How did I come to OA? I was 12-step, so they say, at a yoga retreat 13 years ago. The person at the time was someone I would never have guessed would have been what I considered a compulsive eater. And it was a perfect timing. We were talking over lunch, and while we each got our food, and then we went on to dessert, and I sampled these one date balls that just, it was sugar. So it excited me. And so then she started sharing a story about an experience she had. And I couldn't hear what she was talking about. I was so obsessed with getting more of that simple food. I was just obsessed. And in my life, I would always go to parties. And once I ingested my substance, I would do laps around thinking nobody's going to notice. And I'd pick up two desserts. Then I'd go again. And then I'd go again. That was the way it was. And then she told me, I said, I told her I didn't hear what she said. And at that time she says, she goes to Overeater Anonymous. And I said, what? I thought there is actually a program that, like, the sky for me opened up. It was like, oh my God. See, my mother was also a compulsive eater. She would never eat really sitting down at the table. She would always go to the kitchen, start eating bread, ripping apart the outsides. And, so I saw her be like that. And at times she would take food off my plate and it would drive me nuts. But I saw that I did the same thing too, And it, when she did it and she did it in public, I would feel embarrassed. But then I realized, oh my God, like I'm doing it too and I can't stop. And then, so I realized there was something there. I would try diets, but the diets, no matter what, I had willpower, but it never lasted. So the woman who told me about Overeater Anonymous said, I asked her, when can I start? It was just like that. And then she says, well, after New Year, she when she's back in the city, I meet her at the church at Yonge and Bloor in Toronto. And at the end of the meeting, we all held hands and said the St. Francis prayer. It was trippy for me, to be perfectly honest. I come from a Jewish background, and it was just an experience, and I was just allowing myself just to be willing, because I felt desperate. People at the meeting at times said, keep going back. It took me a little while till I got into the groove. There was something I felt in the room that I wanted, the camaraderie ship. The person who 12-stepped me soon became my sponsor, and I became abstinent at the time. I would say my abstinent at that time was more of the garden variety type. I put down my trigger foods, but I was sloppy with quantity and behaviors. I was abstinent, quote unquote, like this for 8 years until I did a workshop with Harlan G. And that was the beginning of a turning point for me, because I realized I just didn't want to be abstinent. I wanted to be recovered, he taught me that I needed to develop a new concept of a higher power that loves me and cares for me and holds me tight and is always there for me. That is step two. Came to believe in a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. I have come back to this step whenever I am blocked from God and question if my concept is all loving, all forgiving, and all compassionate. So, and once I knew I developed that as a result of taking Harlan's workshop, I know I can take step three, where I stand at the turning point and ask for his protection, care with complete abandon and without no yeah buts. Every day I'm seeking God's will for me. I know I am no longer running the show. I have a new director, that's God, and a sponsor who always gets me out of the story and directs me back to the steps as they are outlined in the big book. In addition, I have created a God squad of fellows I reach out to on a regular basis. What the key is for me is that my sponsor, I realize, cannot be my higher power. Like, he can't be everything. So I need the camaraderie of the fellowship. And that's been a big piece, a crucial piece in my recovery. And, you know, I remember when the last time I lost my abstinence, and that was when I blamed circumstances in my life at that time for why I couldn't keep the food down and, you know, the behaviors just started creeping in. And I realized, you know, my daughter had stress in school. She wasn't managing. I had to pull her out. I had to homeschool her. All these life events start happening. And we go through ups and downs in all of our lives. And I realized that, you know, I was allowing circumstances to become my higher power. And it doesn't serve me to make anything else in my life my higher power, because it just, I have to learn to put the oxygen mask on myself first. That's the key. And the only, and that's going to God. Nobody else, no other person can give me the sense of a solution, the answer to my ills. I've got to go deep into myself and have a concept that's bigger than me. It does, you know, for me, I call it God, but others call it nature. Other people call it many different things. But the key is not to get caught up in the word God and think that should stop you. You know, you know, if you really want to get this program, you have to be willing to just go with it and act as if. And that's when one of the keys for me in the program. Just a moment. I feel like there was something. Yeah. Okay. You know, the key for me is to always realize that, you know, there's a double whammy effect happening in the 12 steps. And it's basically an allergy of the body. And as soon as I ingest certain foods, it causes the mental obsession. So it doesn't matter. I don't compare myself to anybody else because I know that, you know, I've tried everything and there's nothing that I can do now that I know I've done it all. So I just have to know that there's certain foods I absolutely have to put down. And there's certain behaviors I just have to not engage with. Otherwise, it will lead me back. And that is the key. And the program has grown on me for 13 years. And I just keep coming back. It seems daunting, but really, it's a solution. And I'm so grateful that I have this fellowship to come to. It's really remarkable. And I was hesitant to speak tonight because I didn't feel my story was as riveting as others. I didn't have as much weight to lose. And I realized, like, the weight that I carry in between my ears is way bigger than any weight on my body. And that's what I have to do in order to feel the lightness of being, I have to turn my will over to God every day, or my concept. The program for me, you know, the program is simple, but it's not always easy. But as long as I keep taking an action, I know that eventually the serenity comes in. You know, one thing I'll say is that this program is not for people who want it. It's not for people who need it. It's for people who do it. It's an action program. So I'll just end, and maybe I'm ahead of the time, but maybe we'll fill this time with more questions. What you are is God's gift to you. What you make of your life is your gift to God. And thank you for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope.